Hello and welcome to Put in an H, a mini-sode.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, continuing our decade by decade review.
I have been looking forward to this one, I don't mind telling you.
What comes after season one being the 80s?
Full character development, the 90s.
That's all we got.
What do you want to talk about the 90s?
Right.
First?
I have a whole bunch of stuff here.
Okay.
As per, it's not in any mad structured order. It's just shit that I remember that I want to talk about, right?
Sure.
For some reason, the first thing I wrote down about the 90s was Nike Air Max.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I remember they were like...
You had that bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that air bubble.
Now, and it was a little bit after the... Because I always really wanted that one where you can...
Oh, yeah.
Pump up the tongue. I don't know what that...
Dave Chappelle in...
What purpose was that?
In Prince... Not Prince of Thieves. Men in Tights. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the movie that I've seen the most.
Tomorrow, Abbott.
Tomorrow.
Welcome, Abbott.
Tomorrow.
Hello, Abbott.
Tomorrow.
Hey, Abbott.
I hate that guy.
I hate that guy. Mel Brooks, comedy genius.
Yes.
Like, you know, that was his last good one, I'd say.
When was Dracula Dead and Loving It?
It was later in the 90s. Did you like that one?
I like that.
I didn't like that one as much.
Renfield. I love that.
Nike Air Max.
I don't know why that was the first thing.
No, but it was like, you get Nike Air Max for Christmas, eh? You know, like, yeah, and a new, like, new tracksuit.
£90.
Yeah.
£120.
Ridiculous. Like
of old Irish punts.
Yeah.
So I remember that being a big thing. If you got those, you were made. And also, do you remember those fucking trousers everyone had?
The tearaways.
Yeah. The zip ones that went up to like your calf.
Yeah.
But then there was like the button ones that went all the way up to your hip.
Yeah.
And you always just get someone to go just like, ripping them off.
It's like, well, if I'm going to be an exotic dancer, that was my start.
You constantly spend your childhood just putting the buttons back together because someone's just ripping them off.
There's something about that stance I just did there that you guys couldn't see. I'm like, when somebody in a TV show or something would rip off their trousers and then put their arms above their head,
shake their waist,
start moving their waist.
Yeah,
it's just funny. Here's something that off the top of my head. Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Sister.
You can't get more 90s than these things.
Sabrina, you know,
yes.
Like all this.
King
like,
and
like, we lived in a golden age of kids' TV. Like,
it
or like
really
preteen.
Was.
Remember they used to do it on Nickelodeon where it'd be like head to head. And it was.
Keenan and Kel never won against Sabrina.
Like, well, nobody won against Sabrina. Sabrina won
Powerhouse.
All the time. I know, yeah.
I was like.
The answer to the riddle is cakes on the griddle.
Is that right?
That's right. When she's obsessed with pancakes.
That's the best one.
On the riddle. That's right.
She keeps, and the fact that she keeps changing the channel, it's like, I like pancakes. Like, okay. TV-wise, it was, you know.
Even cartoons, TV-wise, there was a lot of stuff there. Like, obviously, you're dipping your toe into The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But like stuff like Ren and Stimpy and Rocko's Modern Life,
yeah.
It's like, whoa, Angry Beaver is fucking amazing, man.
It's funny, I was listening to the last episode we did in the 80s, and I thought it was funny that you were like, and of course, another popular show that was started in the 80s. It's like, Simpsons? like, bloop, doop, doop, doop.
Seinfeld, like, sort
of, peak.
Yeah, like, by the time, the millennium rolled around, we would have been, 13?
15.
14?
Yeah.
Me, 14.
Essentially, what we're talking about today is our childhood between the age of like 4 and 14 to 15.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and like, you kind of, like, you had friends coming out. Getting older, you're like, whoa, like, these guys are like, okay, they're 10, 15 years older than me, but also, I want to be like them. They're cool, you know?
But
you're drinking cans out the back of an alley.
That's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
TV-wise, it was, you know, unreal. But, like, movie-wise, Terry,
Yeah, so you're a big 90s guy. Like,
I mean, first of all, you got Terminator 2.
91, yeah. You may as well 90s. Call that 80s.
No, 91. You said it yourself.
Fine.
Terminator 2. Like, all these fucking, like I was saying, the Sandlot kids. I love the Sandlot kids. That's right
Plus.
Up there. It's right. Oh, I know.
Be on Disney
it's a
Plus.
Big selling point for me. Yeah. All those sort of Disney.
They renamed it the Sandlot.
Like, you know those movies like fucking, yeah, they did. Yeah. But they did that with a few movies. I know it as the Sandlot kids. All those movies like Richie Rich and like
Snot Nose,
you know, Man of the House. All these
Man
Disney,
of the House was good.
That
though.
Was funny.
Chevy Chase and
the guy. Bye bye, Star Chase.
You got heavyweights.
Heavyweights. Like.
That was wonderful. Woo! So entertaining. The cinematography, the editing techniques. Oh, I must say, the villain was a bit over the top.
Like, so far ahead of our time.
It really was. Like, but I was only talking to Carrie about it yesterday, and I know I've said it on the podcast before, but it bears repeating, that I still think, like, how mad it is that, like, we were the last...
Non-internet.
The last people in the history of the world to have a childhood without internet. Like,
so
think
happy,
about it. Like, in, like, 4,000 years... Like, that's still going to be the case.
Yeah,
it's like, always going to be around. And we were literally in humankind.
All the better for it, I think. Like, you know,
I
like,
feel so lucky to have had it. You know, like, up until it came in around maybe 14, 15.
It was,
you know,
post
properly,
2000, like, really. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
properly.
You know.
Like, but I just think, like, what a blessing that is that we actually got to do
but,
it without.
Like, I know you might think we're waxing nostalgic here, but like, things seemed to be simpler back then in that, like, you'd go and knock to your friend's house.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to make an appointment.
Or go on a play date.
You know, like, it's just... But, like, I don't know, with the internet, everything seems way more dangerous. Like, you know, there was never... Like,
plus, I mean, you know where everyone's reachable at all times.
Yeah.
And back then it was like, you'd knock around to a few mates. Some might be in, some might not be in. Then you just, you know, like, that was it.
You'd come home or whatever.
Yeah,
it's mad to think that, like kids now, like... How old is Joni now?
She'd be five in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you would never be like, in 2 years' time, you're like, I go on down to the green, I'll see you in 6 hours. Like, you know, like,
I wouldn't even think of it now. You know, like, I wouldn't think of letting her out of my sight. Like,
you couldn't.
There's times when I lose her in the shop for 5 minutes and the fuck it, or 5 seconds. And like,
five minutes.
Yeah, she's fine.
That's really good.
And there's real fish in this. But like, I don't know what I'm eating. <It's not fish laughs> in it. But like, if I lose her for like a second, I'm like, the panic that sinks in, like, oh, like, shit. Where, like, I'm trying not to be like, don't I? <Yeah. laughs> That's how I feel on the inside.
Just grabbing the mic.
Have you seen my child? Like, literally, she's behind me. Like, but like, you didn't have that in the 90s. Yeah. You could just be. And I remember even seeing pictures of like my mom, like, everyone was just like, picture of her like leaning in with a picture of us like with a smoke in her hand, and like,
yeah,
you know, like, you couldn't do that now. And all this fucking, like, it's just completely different. But movie wise I think like, you got Con Air, you got Terminator 2, you've got, like, you know, all these, like,
yeah, but you got a lot of garbage as well. Like,
of course you do. You know what I think of, the first thing that comes to mind apart from like Air Max when I think of the 90s is like the song is Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
I don't know why. That's just like almost peak. And like, I hate it. But that's,
it sums it up.
So
like,
90s.
Yeah.
Like, that couldn't be more. That or the Friends theme tune or something like that. Like, that's, you couldn't get more 90s than that. But I'll tell you what 90s album I was listening to only the other day. Have you ever listened to Jagged Little Pill?
Great album.
Unbelievably good.
It's like, people talk about like how shit the 90s music was, and it was for a large part.
But then you've also got, like, it was.
Yeah.
But then you've also got like Nirvana.
Yes.
And you've got like
Alanis Morissette, like Oasis. Like,
Oasis was my childhood.
Yeah.
Like.
We were talking about this down in Galway last weekend, and it was like kind of formative albums you talk about and stuff like that. Like, and
what would yours be?
See, I don't know, because I feel like I've gone through about like four different music stages in my life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and Oasis was never really one for me. Like, if anything, I would have been more of a Blur kind of guy.
Yeah, surprise me.
Yeah. I don't know, like, it just, I didn't like them in terms of, like, you listen back to their stuff now.
Yeah.
The stuff I like the best is the stuff that wasn't their big chart stuff.
Right.
You know, like, I genuinely like the Mike Flair's Pops version of Wonderwall better than the Oasis.
I think
version.
Wonderwall is, I can't, like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills with this song. I'm like, everyone knows this song is shit, right? Like, I mean, like, his singing in it is outrageously bad. After all. And it just keeps going. And then, like, the next bit, is it going to be, you're all I want, there, wah. And like, oh.
Think of Mike Flair's back being the wood stream.
Or Ryan Adams' version is great. Like. But, like, and I even heard
I'm sure
Noel Gallagher did a version. I think it was his version.
I don't believe that
I would take that over.
Do you take it. It's on Spotify.
But I tell you one thing, though. I'm not a big guitar solo fan. You know, like, you know, when you hear these, like, oh, shredding on the guitar. Like, I'm not even a big fan of that. But I will say that the guitar solo in Live Forever, I don't know if you know too well, but, like, that one, I think it's the fact that I know that, because I heard Noel once saying that, like, even he, when he's playing that, still thinks, like, oh, fucking hell. Like, you know, that's pretty good. And then when I listen to it, I'm like, that's unbelievable. Few things like that. Definitely, maybe I would say is probably my album of the 90s. Definitely,
really?
Maybe, or Jagged Little Pill would be the two of them. Definitely.
Interesting. I was more of
if you had to pick an album, Willennium gets a mention, of course. That was 99.
We're still in the Willennium, technically.
We're never out of it, mate.
Well, we won't be in our lifetime.
Nor do I want to be.
Album of the 90s. It's weird because, like, I was kind of saying, formative stuff for me would have been, I guess I would have been, maybe, like, is Enema of the State the 90s?
Oh, very much so. 98,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, like, and that's like when I was like, oh, this is pop, but it's also, like, fast. And
this is something I can identify with.
Yeah, it's kind of, but, like, I was never, like, kind of,
yeah.
I didn't even think that I like this. This is something sort of different.
Yeah, this is something for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I was never really, like, a skater, you know, whatever. But, like, I was talking about that, like, and kind of the next wave of stuff was kind of when I went back, like, say by the time I was 16 or 17, I was casting my mind back to, like, the Jam or the Clash and stuff like that.
In
the 90s, I don't think I was mature enough to enjoy music as I do now. Like, I would have, like, the first tape I bought was, like, Three Lions by Badil and Skinner.
I got that.
Because I liked them on Fantasy Football.
Exactly,
thing,
yeah.
Or, like, the Smurfs, you know, they had a tape.
I know exactly what you mean.
They had a tape. I got that. And then, like, I would always have, like, a compilation album of, like, you know, Dance Tip 95.
I got now that's what I call Music 27, I remember.
I tell you what song that I loved and everybody hated and I never got tired of it was...
You're Gorgeous.
I love that song.
No,
first of all,
I hate it.
I owe you.
I hate it so much.
I love it.
Remember the tank top you bought me.
It's awful.
You wrote your please stop this.
No, the one I was going to talk about was My Lover's Got the Money. He's
I didn't love it. You know what sums up for me? It was a similar one.
Everything But the Girl.
You know that one? Boom, 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 boom.
That was in my head for like two
people
in Rabbit Affairs. And I, Stereo MCs is the name of the band.
Of the one you were singing?
Of that one there, yeah. Of,
oh, yeah. That one, yeah.
Let China. It come now, baby. Everything But the Girl was that one.
Which one was that?
Step off the train.
Oh, yeah. That's the banger, that is.
Down your street again. And I tell you what else we were talking about as well, because that song Caravan of Love came on. You know that song? Every woman, every child, join the girl.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
But it's the guy from The Beautiful South. And we were, me and Pilo were like, do you like The Beautiful South? And I was like, you know what? That's a fucking band from the 90s that, like, yeah, I really did like.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about them anymore.
They don't really, like, do they? Like, yeah. They're like, they were kind of seen as, I guess, a bit of a novelty act for some reason.
Yeah, but they weren't like, they, it's like,
they weren't really, like, you know, but yeah.
I mean, like, the same way Divine Comedy are seen as a novelty act.
That's why I was going to say, I wasn't going to bring it up. I was like, that's why you like them. You're a fan of that sort of
subgenre. I like songs that are written like stories. That's why Paul McCartney is my favorite Beatle, because I like all his, you know, he writes a story in a song.
He's a hit maker.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you listen to Neil Hannon's writing, there's similarities. There's very much similarity to Paul McCartney.
In that they tell stories, perhaps.
Yeah. But also, it's clever. Like, Paul McCartney stuff was all very clever.
Yeah.
Neil Hannon stuff is very clever.
Okay.
You just don't like him because you hate that he's from Derry.
Is he from Derry? I didn't even know that. Don't shove your papers at me.
You're an anti-Semite.
I think the reason I don't like him is because he looks like United's former goalkeeper Edwin van der Sar.
But he doesn't, though. No, he's not. Like, if anything, I think he looks more like Glenn Roeder, former West Ham United manager.
No, I don't know. I'll tell you what else I got here.
Oh, yeah.
The attitude area.
Hey!
Like, you were just absolutely spoiled for a choice. Yeah. And especially coming in to it as, like, 12, like 11, 12, 13, yeah, 14.
Staying up to watch Hell in the Cell 98.
I fucking
watched, like, it live where Mick Foley.
Oh, when came off the
cell. By God, they killed him. He's fighting back. They're right above us, folks. And I don't like it a damn bit. Oh, my God. Look out.
Like
just Austin generally. Like, I remember, like not being mad about wrestling, but like knowing who Stone Cold Steve Austin was at 96. And I remember the lads talking about it in school, like, oh, he won King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool or whatever like that.
It took me ages to figure out what Austin 316 meant.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? Why does he keep saying that?
Because I wasn't watching, I was like, why is he called Stone Cold? Like, is he, like, and it was like, is he like an ice, supposed to be like an Iceman?
Because it was so like caricature based before
back then.
But I think my favorite Attitude Era moment was, Austin driving into Zamboni.
But like,
because it had everything. It was a big spectacle. He jumps over the ring.
It's fucking dangerous. Like, the way he comes off that Zamboni.
The Titan as well, like, comes out with him for a minute. Like, fucking hell.
The way he comes off that Zamboni to, like, get like, Vince, you're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
so
I ain't done with you yet. Not by a long shot.
But you had all that, like, and I remember
you had The Rock becoming The Rock.
Mankind, Undertaker, Triple H.
In front of you. Like, you know, it was like 97, he went away for a while. He came back 98, he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
This ain't Sing Along with the Champ. All that. And, like, then you had when he was like, and I remember watching it being like, oh, I think it would have been 98, 99, where he was like, he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then he lost the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, then he started becoming a main event guy. But he was a good guy. And you're like, oh, he hates McMahon. Him and Austin hate McMahon. And then they gave you the fucking biggest switch again, where he goes back to the corporation. You're like, oh, I fucking hate that motherfucker.
Now, will some of you call The Rock a kiss ass? Well, I'm sure you will. Because quite frankly, you are all unintelligent pieces of trailer park trash.
Go!
Do you smell it?
I smell what The Rock is cooking.
Now, you pieces of trash, you work your candy asses off day after day after day, 9 to 5 for minimum wage. Well, The Rock did what The Rock had to do to get to the top of the world, and that is him standing smack dab in the middle of the corporate ring, your WWF World Champion.
Clap for him, JR. Not a chance.
Fucking hate that motherfucker.
The corporation was just like, I mean, it got to a stage eventually where it was so big.
It was too big.
It was like NWO and WCW. But I loved the factions that they had back then. They didn't have, if only they knew, well, they do know, but if only they did it now, where it's like, just get a bunch of factions. I don't know if they even do that. I can't watch WWE anymore. I'm officially out.
I tell you what, the Rumble was good. And the reason what was great about it was that it was something different. It was like Brock Lesnar was number one this year. And literally, and it made sense that it was like, anybody who gets in the ring one-on-one with him, he's most likely just going to beat the shit out of it because he's fucking Man Mountain.
Yeah.
And like, if you were doing a Royal Rumble realistically, which they never do, but if you're doing it realistically, he's going to get you in. His whole thing is he's going to suplex you and throw you over the top.
Yeah.
And what they did was, he did that 5 or 6 times in a row, and he's still there. And you see him sort of barely working up a sweat.
Yeah.
And what they did was they kind of threw in little wrinkles to it. Like Shelton Benjamin was his old training partner, came out and it's like, oh, it's...
Right.
And they came out and he's giving Heyman a hug and he's giving Lesnar a hug. And it's like, oh. Right, it's like, right. And like, oh, Shelton's going to help him. It's like, no, he's gone. Or like the people he'd been feuding with over the last few months, they all kind of ganged up on him. And you're like, oh, they're going to get it, Lesnar. Yeah, and like, he's on the ropes. And then he fucking cleans house. And again, it's like he's like eliminated 12 people in a row, and he's still there. And you're like, I'm like thinking to myself, whoever eliminates him, man, the fucking place is gonna go absolutely nuts. And it did. The fucking pop out of it when he got eliminated, I was like, man, they do it right, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Rumble was always like my
like,
and the one that really sticks out, I don't know, was it maybe it was 2000 at the time, but the one in Madison Square Garden, you know, with the taxi, the really short one up, like the Taz's intro and all that.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley and Triple H, that fucking match. But like, Mae Young's puppies. Remember that? Because it was on Channel 4 and they had this weird sensor that you could see right through. I was like, oh,
just
God.
Do it right. Like, but like, the Attitude Era, like, and it was the only time where you'd be going back and forth between WCW, what was on, you know, like, you know. Because you could get it if you had Sky.
Yeah,
you
could get it on. My mom's friend had TNT or whatever it was. And she, and I'd say, I'd give her a video. Can you get her to record it on this? And I'd watch it, like, on VHS.
But I remember, like, going back as an adult and watching, like, say, when Hulk Hogan turned heel. I watched it on the network WCW.
Yeah.
And it was, like, you're like, man, the fever pitch of fandom. The place was like garbage
shit.
Absolute trash, like, and he's like, and he's just like you're like, this is the guy we grew up with, as, like, you know.
I know.
Hulk, we were a little Hulkamaniacs.
The Hulk Hogan,
like, I kind of I wasn't watching WCW at the time, but like, to see it as an adult, you're like, man, that's well done as well. Like,
yeah,
you sort of tip
really
your hat. Like,
Hogan is in the building.
You damn right he is.
Go get him, Hulk, sir.
Yeah, on whose side is he on?
Go, what are you talking about?
Whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
Yes, sir!
Get him, Hogan! Go get him, baby!
Come on and get some of this now!
Who's bad now, boys?
Hulk Hogan arrived! Hulk!
What is he doing?
Oh, my God!
Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW! He is the third man!
Look at
this picture!
Oh, my God!
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God!
Are you kidding me?
Probably the lowest shot.
The whole sort of vibe of the 90s was like, it seems so... Like, date is not even the right word, but it seems so foreign now because...
Like, not everything
they
works,
were pushing,
I think, if you look back.
No, it doesn't, but the thing is, like, they were pushing the '90s were just always like pushing the envelope. Yeah. It seemed, you know what I mean. And there's like bigger
Pamela Anderson, like, you know,
yeah, like, you know, like so,
that's
like
so nineties,
like you say, bombastic almost. Yeah. Where it's like they could say whatever they could say, the big shock value, and all these like shows that came out, and all this. It was all about like
reality TV was starting. Yeah, you know, around that
and
time,
then somewhere like, I'd say maybe between 2010 and 2015. It started to dial back and sort of go the other way. And so now, by 2020, what happened in the 90s seems so, like, I remember watching, I had the WWE Network for a while, and they had all the episodes of Raw, and I think I was saying to you before, but, like, just in one episode, you'd have about a dozen clips that you'd remember, like, in your head, and like, jeez, this was all that 1 2-hour episode.
I think it helped that the fact that, like, there was genuine, like,
competition.
We could be going out of business.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
now, like, they will never...
No,
yeah, we'll never grow.
It's just something completely.
But even
different.
Like football in the '90s.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like, you know, that sort of like Britannia, you know, this new Britannia of like the Premier League,
yeah,
exploding, you know, onto and like
United's
this whole
immense success.
Yeah, but like, of course, that was so great for me growing up. But even like, you know, I watched as much football as I could back then, and like. Premier League stickers, you had fucking...
That's
the only
thing I want
like,
to talk to you about, right? In school, so I assume you had a Premier League, you were big into Premier League stickers. Yeah. Were you a Conkers man?
Yes.
Were you a Pogs man?
Yes. We discussed this on the last episode.
Did we?
Yeah. Conkers was... Conkers is a game you take your hands into your own hands.
Sure.
And I remember like coming home like after a particularly bad game and my mom being like, what happened to your hands?
I
was like...
I never had my hands injured in that. Maybe I did.
Who were you playing against? Like fucking
I was just really
those.
Good.
Like, no, yeah, right. Like
I was good.
Playing against a bunch of wimps is what you were.
It's one of them. Yeah. Remember when we first became friends in the centre and you were saying about like how you and your mates would be hitting each other. I'm like, you and your fucking Neanderthal cronies.
Yeah. Right, boss.
So I had that.
Conkers, Pogs.
Pogs were a big one, like. Gave up everything I had for an aluminium slammy. And it wasn't even a proper one.
Did you ever have a bladed?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like a metal blade. Shit, I thought like, oh, this is going. We're going to win everything. I'll win them all back. Kerry was saying yesterday she was so good at Pogs that like she. This is fucking vintage her. She's like, I was so good at Pogs that I would actually turn down people. Like who wanted to play because I didn't. I felt bad. I'd take their Pogs. I was like, "Oh, you fucking smug son of a bitch."
There was nothing worse though if you lost, like an assignment marbles. If you lost your steely in marbles,
your big one. You're like, "Oh fuck!"
What do they call it? Queenie was it?
A Queenie.
Yeah,
it was.
And I tell you what else was great about the '90s.
Yes,
sweets.
Yes,
Apple Jacks. Fruit salads.
Tangy birds.
Yeah. You could get a packet of trackers.
Burger bites.
Yeah. You know, like that sort of stuff that it was just... Oh, man. Yeah, your metabolism isn't quite there yet, so you can gorge out on it. Like.
And boy, did we.
Yeah.
Going to those like school walks. School walks, but the school like football matches at... Croke Park. Yeah. And like I'd get a bag of sweets. I'd have it like a fiver or whatever, and I would just be getting like, give me 12 tangies, you know, whatever, 10 tenpenny bags.
Yeah, I remember getting a pound for a school walk one time, and I was like, okay, 50p on trackers, tangies, whatever. So I had 50p left, and I was like, and 50 Apple Jacks, please. And you wouldn't look at me like, oh, for fuck's sake. And I'm like,
but isn't it funny then,
marching away,
when we worked in the shop then, and then you see like the kids will literally use every last cent of what they have.
Yeah,
they'll get
whatever. What can I get for
for 8 cent? Like, I'll give you a jelly.
I'll give you a jelly now.
But what else we got? Father Ted.
Yes.
I remember initially not liking Father Ted. Like at the start, I don't know why. You know what I think it was? I think it was because some of my friends had seen it and I hadn't seen it yet, so I just was like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh, it's hilarious.
I loved it, and it was a thing that like me and my dad could bond over.
Yeah.
Because like he liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I had said, I think I would have been 10 at the time, and I thought feck.
Yeah.
Was fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck off, like in the Father Ted. And my mom was like, no, it's no, feck. It's, he doesn't say that. And I was like, he doesn't say that. And he's like, no, it's feck off.
Fuck off. Little 10-year-old thing. Fuck off. Sorry, please. Fuck off.
She's like, no, it's feck off. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, as in, he's like, no, we don't say the other one. The other one's bowl, but that's part Irish. It's feck. And you're like, okay, yeah, I get it.
It's funny that you have to be so careful with this. Like, Joni started to say now, I'll say, no, get your shoes or whatever. It's like, oh, shit it. Now I've started to say shit it to Gary, like, oh, shit it. You know? So I'd be like, excuse me. Or like, I'm like, no, come on up the stairs. And like, Jesus. Like, oh, God. Like, what am I saying? But yeah, Father Ted, like, and it's weird. Father Ted is shit it. I just think that's a great line. But Father Ted, if anyone doesn't really know what it was like,
I'd love to Ireland have an American's 90s. Opinion on Father Ted. Or
that's literally Ireland in the 90s, yeah. You know what I mean?
But it was great because it is, but it's also like such a satire and a takedown of the Catholic establishment. Like, you know, like,
just even those sort of jokes was like, you know, bloody Protestants up to no good as usual. Yeah, like, you couldn't.
Fucking Greeks.
They
invented gayness. And like
just so good.
But like, when I watch that now, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my face is hurting from smiling. I know. At any little bit, like, you know.
Like, I could stick on any episode, any moment of any episode of Father Ted, and within 10 seconds I'm laughing.
There's some that are like, you're like, that's absolute top shelf. And even the ones that you're not a huge fan of, it's still fucking brilliant.
And I still quote it all the time. Every time, like, especially with all these renovations going on in the house, I'm always like, you could talk that into coming down.
You know? Where did you get this, Kerry?
I could have got you a great one for half that.
Cowboys, Kerry, look at this.
Wish you pay for the door.
We better wrap it up.
You probably should. Yeah. Slave to the car park as always. But oh man, I could talk about the 90s for a whole. I could do a whole series of podcasts on the 90s.
Wow.
we'll see about that. Listen, a pleasure as always. Yeah. But where can they find us, Terry?
You can get us on Instagram. Yes. You can get us on Twitter. You can get us on Facebook at Put It In H Pod.
I think so.
Yeah. If you can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can. I tell you what, we didn't say it last week, but any reviews, are like a huge
gold dust
to us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everybody who's given us a like and a review and all that so far.
Really appreciate it. Thank you to all our patrons. If you want to sign up,
you can find us on patreon.com/putinh.
Yes, sir.
And with that, you'll get a membership badge.
Very elite status symbol.
And you will get.
We should in the next. We have to finalize the deets, but in about maybe
a couple of weeks,
there should be some exclusive Patreon stuff.
Yeah.
Excuse me, coming your way. Bad timing with the burp there. It'll be a lot more classier than that.
Just a recording of Andy burping for 2 hours.
About 8. Thanks very much for listening. And if you have just started listening to this, go back and listen to the proper episodes.
You'll get to know us through that. And then these little ones are a nice little slice of life that we throw in.
Yeah.
We don't talk about The Simpsons once, really.
We haven't done it on a minisode, I think, in the last maybe 5. So.
Mart's been dead for 10 years.
And you know what, as well, I have to say, and I'm going to.
And I don't miss him.
I know I'm going to. I'm going to have it with this one as well. I don't know if you had the same thing. All week I'm like, I can't believe I didn't talk about that for the 80s episode. Yeah. I can't believe I said that was my favourite song. I can't believe it. And every fucking. Anyway, so I'm sure I'll have that. So please don't judge us. Yeah. You're catching us at a moment.
You're
that's
cramming
all
it in for half an hour of goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
Your ear holes.
Thank you and.
Good night.
Goodbye. Okay, go with that.
Of 90s, right?
Oh, yeah. 2 seconds before. No! I did it on Cars!
Hello, and welcome to Put in an H, a mini-sode!
Mini-sode!
Every time.